With the help of a few mega donors, Wisconsin's Republican Party is way ahead of its fundraising pace from 4 years ago, and Democrats are running behind. It's Wednesday, July 22nd. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, the Wisconsin Elections Commission warns against betting on your ballot.
You want people who have the ability to vote based upon who they believe is the best person for the job, not to line their pocketbooks.
And Governor Tony Evers is calling on the Trump administration to stop extending the life of coal plants that were slated to come offline. Stay with us.
What started with one experimental license more than 100 years ago is today Wisconsin Public Radio, with dozens of stations around the state, an app, and a comprehensive website at WPR.org. Thank you to our donors who have made this journey possible.
Amid the battle for governorship and control of the legislature, the state Republican Party has raised millions more this year than at the same point in 2022. Meanwhile, Rich Kramer reports the state Democratic Party is millions behind where it was 4 years ago.
The Republican Party of Wisconsin has raised around $6.7 million more this year than it did during the first 6 months of 2022. Fundraising reports from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin show it's raised around $4.4 million less than it did at the same point. What's more, GOP campaign committees for the state assembly and Senate saw more fundraising growth than their Democratic counterparts this year. Mordecai Lee is an emeritus political science professor with UW-Milwaukee. He says the shift is notable.
I think these numbers reflect all the turbulence in Wisconsin politics, in the sense of sometimes one party is strong and the other's weak, and then they flip-flop.
Of the GOP's haul this year, the bulk came from three Republican megadonors. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Polly Market and Kalshi are pushing back after the Wisconsin Elections Commission warned people against using those platforms to bet on elections. Both Polly Market and Kalshi allow people to put money on the outcome of real-world events like weather, sports, and elections. In a recently issued memo, the Elections Commission said a Wisconsin law makes it a felony to bet on any election that you also voted in. The commission's memo also said that under that law, using prediction markets meets the definition of betting. Commissioner Ann Jacobs says Wisconsin's ban on election-related gambling is in place for a good reason.
You want people who have the ability to vote based upon who they believe is the best person for the job, not to line their pocketbooks.
Kalshi and Polly Market, however, have argued that their platforms facilitate financial trades, not gambling. A Polly Market spokesperson said that company would address the commission's claims through the appropriate legal process. Wisconsin and a coalition of states are hailing a win in their lawsuit against the head of the Environmental Protection Agency. As Daniel Kading reports, states had sued to force the EPA to act on Biden-era standards for soot pollution.
A federal judge has ordered EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin to designate whether areas are meeting tougher standards for soot pollution by February. In an announcement on the ruling, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call called on the Trump administration to stop blocking progress toward cleaner air. 2 years ago, the Biden administration tightened limits on soot pollution that stems from wildfires, construction sites, and power plants. At the time, the EPA said that would prevent 4,500 premature deaths and bring billions of dollars in health benefits. But Republican-led states sued to block the regulation over fears it would increase costs for utilities and manufacturers. The EPA initially defended the standards, but the Trump administration later sought to overturn them. A federal appeals court upheld the tighter limits last month. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Some agriculture groups say a Supreme Court ruling last month that sided with Roundup manufacturer Bayer is a big loss for farmers. The court found that Bayer is not responsible for providing a cancer warning label to the popular weed killer. That derails tens of thousands of pending lawsuits that claim Roundup caused cancer and failed to warn users. Aaron Lehman is the president of the Iowa Farmers Union. He remembers using Roundup to spot treat weeds on his family's farm.
This ruling just makes it so much harder for our farmers to use the court system to defend their health. And it creates a disincentive for the manufacturers to make safe, effective herbicides that farmers need.
Attorneys say there are some paths forward for people to sue, but the cases will be harder to win. Governor Tony Evers is calling on the Trump administration to stop extending the life of coal plants previously slated to come offline. Joe Schultz has more on the letter he sent to the Department of Energy on Monday.
Evers says the administration's orders keeping aging coal plants online could cost Wisconsin ratepayers an estimated $117 million. Since last year, the U.S. Department of Energy has used emergency orders to extend the life of coal plants in at least five states. The Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin has joined legal challenges to those orders in Indiana and Michigan. Tom Content leads the nonprofit. He says federal regulators required the cost of running those coal plants to be spread across the Midwest.
It's not something that we think is appropriate for customers to be paying a surcharge for something that doesn't really help the grid.
The administration has said keeping the plants online will boost reliability. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up after the break, home is where the heart is, and that can't be hard to leave behind. Stay with us.
Help students start and stay writing with Wubensocker, a free multimedia resource from PBS Wisconsin Education and UW-Madison School of Education. Collaborative arts-based activities and lessons are designed to help learners build confidence in writing and see how extraordinary their ideas are. Visit pbswisconsineducation.org to explore the Wubensocker collection today.
And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Brad Kohlberg with a story about leaving home and finding a new one nearby.
As the saying goes, home is where the heart is. But for writer B.J. Hollers, it's a little more complicated than that. We can become deeply connected to our physical homes. So moving and moving on can be a process.
While my family and I have cherished our time in Eau Claire, it's time for us to say goodbye. The boxes are packed, the papers are signed. All that's left is to bid you farewell as we embark upon the next chapter of our journey. A journey, I'm pleased to add, that will take us no further than 1.9 miles from our current home. Yet, sentimentalist that I am, any move, even one that lands us in the same zip code, leaves me awash with emotion. Over the past month, while attempting to box up our belongings, I regularly pumped the packing brakes to indulge in various unplanned detours down memory lane, including a writing worksheet I found crumpled in my 7-year-old daughter's room shortly before our scheduled move. She composed several sentences about the move, including, "My house is along the highway. I've been to my new house." But then, in a stunning twist, her declarative statements veered toward the philosophical. Why does the world move so fast? The moment she got home from school, I accosted her. "Where on earth did you come up with that line?" I asked, handing her the paper. "Duh," she said, rolling her eyes, "only from every adult ever." If there's one thing adults do well, it's lamenting the fast passage of time. Unfortunately, we're less adept at finding ways to slow it. Let me be clear. I never wanted to move. Instead, I'd hoped to root myself as deeply to the land as our backyard river birch tree. But my wife had insisted that the children required bedrooms and bathrooms, and eventually, logic won the day. My begrudging agreement came with conditions. I demanded that our new house be within walking distance of our old house. I wanted to avoid all bidding wars, and I didn't want to sell our former house to just anyone. Such stringent conditions, I figured, would buy me a little more time. Instead, the universe conspired on my wife's behalf, rolling out a tailor-made red carpet that made short work of my conditions. One afternoon, the grandparents of a family friend mentioned that they were hoping to downsize. Their home was just the right size and just the right neighborhood, a mere 5,800 steps away from our current home. Within a month, we'd struck a deal. The only bidding war involved me demanding that I pay a little more to make things closer to fair. With two out of three conditions met, all that remained was finding the perfect buyers for our own home. This being a seller's market, I had the luxury of vetting all interested parties. Following an extensive 37-year process, I found the perfect people. Or rather, they found me. "Wait a minute," I said into the phone. "You mean to tell me that you and Dad would move here?" "Yes," my mother agreed. "There's nothing we want more." After missing one too many of their grandchildren's activities, my parents were anxious to make the 500-mile journey from Indiana to embark upon their own next chapter with us. Now, if this all seems a little too good to be true, it's because it is. I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. Will the basement flood? Will the roof cave in? Whatever the price, we'll pay it. Because we have found not only the perfect house, but the perfect arrangement too. We lose nothing, and we gain grandparents. Was it Heraclitus or my 7-year-old who said, "The only constant in life is change"? Whomever it was, they were right. While change is scary, it's less so when you know it's coming. And since it's always coming, we ought never to be afraid. When one door closes, another opens. All the better when you've got familiar faces waiting within.
BJ Hollers is a writer, author, and assistant professor of creative writing at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org, on Facebook, and on Instagram. I'm Brad Kohlberg.
And now for a check of the forecast. Expect sunny to partly cloudy and pleasant skies today. Highs likely to reach in the low to mid-70s. And then tonight, mostly clear and cool. Lows expected to drop in the upper 40s north and low 50s south. And then tomorrow, sunshine continues and a touch warmer. Highs likely to reach in the upper 70s east and low 70s west. And then tomorrow night, expect a few clouds and lows mainly in the 50s. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. We really appreciate you checking out our podcast. And special thanks to our producer today, Hope Kerwin. We'll see you back here tomorrow.